the World Cup with William Hill.
The Punt Daily Podcast. Listen at news.williamhill.com, on Audioboom, or subscribe by iTunes or your preferred podcast provider.
Welcome to William Hill's World Cup Daily Podcast. I'm a little bit nervous, I've got to tell you. Of course, Sweden versus England in the quarterfinals of the World Cup is on our minds. We're going to preview the game. We've also got Russia against Croatia to look forward to. Not really bothered about that one, if I'm being honest. Just got to get this England game out of the way. But bets can be won, of course, in both of the matches. We've got to keep a clear head when we're thinking betting for both of these games. I'd like to say that Matt Walton and Sam Norris are in the studio with me to look at the England game first of all. Chaps, we're going to just collect your thoughts. Let's just have a deep breath. We're going to hear from the Racing Post guys a little bit later on as well. We've also spoken to everyone in our office that I could find to get their predictions for Sweden versus England. Sam, this game, you two are a lot younger than me, and you haven't got I don't think you've got the emotional scars that I carry when it comes to England, especially Sweden. I mean, we've beaten them in the past, but they're always high-scoring games, tend to be draws. How did you two feel, first of all, in that penalty shootout? Were you as bad as me with your hands over your eyes and just peeping out? Do you carry the same emotional baggage that I do for England?
I've never, ever seen us win a penalty shootout in my lifetime.
Yeah, then, basically.
I mean, theoretically, we have done. I think we won a penalty shootout in 98, but I was four, so I don't really remember that.
96
was 96, okay. So I'll have been alive, but I was two, so I didn't remember that at all. So I've never, ever seen us win a penalty shootout before. And I didn't think it was the done thing.
You talk about emotional scars. England was the first thing ever to break my heart. Euro 96 semi-final, just got into football, really got swept up in Euro 96. Got to the semi-final against Germany. My dad was telling me all the arch-enemy stuff about Germany, all that kind of stuff. I got so into it, went 1-0 up, jubilation. They equalised, went to extra time. Gazza sliding in, just missing it. He's a size 11 away from getting a goal there. And to get beat on penalties, I cried my eyes out. It was the first time my heart had ever been broken. And subsequently,
not the last.
I've seen us. I've got excited about things. I've seen us play really well against Argentina in '98, get knocked out, and then since then it's just kind of been one big disappointment. I do actually remember the Spain penalty shootout, and at that point I didn't realise it was such a thing. I didn't realise that penalty shootouts were so hard on England.
Yeah.
I was like, we just won. It's easy. We beat Spain. And then suddenly after that, you realise the heartache. You watch World Cup '90 things back. And needless to say, I was quite excitable after we won the other night.
It's funny you mentioned that England were the source of your first heartbreak, because the first time I ever, ever remember feeling anger in my life was Euro 2004, when Cristiano Ronaldo got Wayne Rooney sent off and the little wink to the camera. I was a 10-year-old boy. I'd never been angry at anything in my life, and I was filled with such a rage. And that was the first time I ever, ever remember being angry at anything in life, and that was thanks to England. Well, it was thanks to Ronaldo chiefly, but it was during an England match.
I'm mainly disappointed because I was at university in 96. 1990, I was a teenager, but then 2004, that was my stag do when I was watching that, and you were 10. Oh, jeez. Anyway, let's have a look at this game. Sweden versus England, of course. 7-2 Sweden, the draw 11-5, England 19-20. They're a bit short, first of all, Sam, aren't they, England? Whatever you think of the match, from a betting perspective, you know, as we sit here and record this, we're England are the only team who are odds on in this. And you could argue that, you know, Croatia probably should be odds on against Russia.
I do think that's a fair point. But when you sort of put it in context with the price we were against Colombia, I wasn't on the England-Colombia preview, but had I have been, I would have said from a pure betting perspective before that match, Colombia were too big for that game. There's no way England should have been 11-10. To beat Colombia. And the fact that we're only a little bit shorter to beat what I consider not a much inferior side, but definitely an inferior side. I think when you contextualise it with the Colombia game, and given obviously the patriotic pound forces England to be much shorter than they should be anyway, I think that we're just a shade beneath even money here compared to just a shade of odds against for the Colombia game. I don't think the price is all that bad. I mean, it is a bad price because we probably shouldn't be odds on to win a quarter final, but when you referenced it to the Columbia price in the last round, I actually think it's an okay price here. You mentioned a little bit earlier on England's record against Sweden, which is bound to put a lot of people off. I think just two wins from the last 15 games against Sweden, which is a run that stretches back to the 60s. A lot of those have been draws, and the two wins have come in recent memory. The two victories have come in the last 5 or 6 years. So that's a slight positive that it's heading in the right direction. But they've been a little bit of a bogey team for England over the course of the years. But this is just such a good opportunity. I heard someone refer to the team on Twitter as the golden opportunity generation. if the 2006 side were the golden generation, this is the golden opportunity generation. And this is a really, really, really good chance for England to progress. I don't mind them at this price, given how short they were against Colombia. I think Sweden are probably a more organised outfit, but I'm not sure they've got the weaponry up front and the arsenal that Colombia quite possess. And I think England are a reasonably good bet to win this, but I can see it definitely being low on the goals. The bet that I play here will be England to win and under 2.5 goals in the match, which is the way in for me. I think this has got all the hallmarks of being a fairly cagey game. And if you're going to be hypercritical of England in this tournament, with the exception of, I suppose, the Panama game, they've not created loads and loads of chances. Been pretty good taking the chances that have created. Been very effective from set pieces, of course. They've had a few penalties along the way. But this England side doesn't create an absolute boatload of chances, but it's good at taking the chances that it does create. So England to win and unders on the goals, I could definitely see happening. For me, Sweden have only had one standout performance in this tournament, and that was when beating Mexico in the final group game. Mexico had already qualified, but that was a good win from Sweden, winning 3-0. Against the Swiss, that game was much of a muchness. It was a bit of a freak goal, really. It was a wild deflection which sent the ball into the top corner. So they didn't really blow me away in that match. And one performance from Sweden against an already qualified Mexico side isn't enough for me to think about putting them up as a selection here. So I'm fairly keen on England. There's some great stats on this game, though, and a couple are anti-England, so I'm not going to use them to fuel my bets here. But 11 of the last 12 teams to win a World Cup round of 16 quarterfinal or semi-final penalty shootout went out in the next round, which is a really damning statistic, that 11 from 12 of the last 12 sides to win a shootout in a knockout stage, the World Cup went out in the next round. So that is a stat against England. God. But I'm going to choose to ignore it.
But all the good stuff that you've said, great. And
I just love that stat.
It's like, you know, if you're balancing all the good stuff you've just said, which I believe all of that, that one stat just goes from my mind and that counteracts all the good stuff.
It will be very typical England, won't it? We finally break the penalty hoodoo and then that's the reason we go out in the next round.
Yeah,
that was just classic England.
Well, interesting thing, Mark, was that Sam compared that Colombia game in terms of odds. When you compare them in terms of football matches, the Sweden-Switzerland game was quite a nice match. Had nowhere near the intensity of the England-Colombia game. Whatever you think of Colombia, but they brought an intensity through their kind of their skullduggery. I won't use the other word that's so common on Twitter at the minute. I think skullduggery is a nice word.
Housing.
Whether you think that's a plus or a negative, because England also played a long, hard game, the emotional kind of baggage that come out of that maybe and the tiredness. But they're a better side than Sweden.
Yeah, undoubtedly. They're a better... And I think when England were on top in that game, for the first 70 minutes, England were the better side. They should have probably been more than 1-0 up. I mean, they didn't really create all that many golden chances, but they had Colombia right where they wanted them. Colombia didn't really offer any kind of threat. It was a 92nd-minute hopeful shot that's kept them in the game. I don't think Sweden, if they're losing at 70 minutes, would be the same influence on the game. I don't think they'd start kicking people. I don't think they'd start bringing people down. I don't think they would be the... skullduggery people that you mentioned already.
The skullduggers.
Yeah. So I think that will favour England, and I think England will get the job done. I don't think we'll be ultra impressive because we haven't been so far. We haven't really... We've controlled games without putting them to bed, apart from the Panama game, of course. I think I agree with Sam in terms of unders on the goals, or very few goals. I could see this being 1-0, 2-0 maybe. I think Sweden will struggle to get on the score sheet. I know England haven't been keeping clean sheets, but we've had a few freak scenarios where we've just come unstuck or lack of concentration and you know, the late goals. I think they'll be more switched on for this, knowing that they are... this is the golden opportunity generation. They will not have a better chance of getting to a World Cup final ever than this. And if you look at the Swedish players, I mean, do not be an overgran, which is something that Marcus Berg is threatening to be. He's had 13 shots without scoring at the World Cup. That's the most of any player to fail at the, to fail to score at the tournament. And the last Sweden player to do that was Overgran, so that's going to be my new phrase. I'm going to get up on a T-shirt. Back in 1974, he had 17 shots and no goals. So I don't see where the threat is. I mean, I saw them in the first game. They had chances that he should have put away, and he just didn't finish them. And I think, you know, if you get to the 70th minute of a quarter final and that's still happening, the pressure on you, you're not suddenly just going to change and become a composed finisher. There isn't an abundance of goals in there for Sweden. So I would be looking at England to win in under 2.5 goals, like Sam's mentioned. England to win to nil, I think, is a play. In terms of England being odds on, what are the prices on under 2.5 goals? And
under 2.5 is 4-9 in the game. But if you team that up with an England win, then you get 21-10.
What's under 1.5? I think the odd goal might nick this.
6-4 under 1.5.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't think it's going to be a free-flowing goal-scoring entertaining game. I think it's going to be cagey. I think it's going to be tight, and I think England are going to have to hold their nerve to get through. A lot of talk about the weather being tricky for both sides. I mean, Sweden must be worried because there's a hurricane coming.
Yeah.
Price is Harry Kane to score any time? Because I'm presuming it's odds on, but if it's not as short as the England price, that might be the way to go, because he's had six shots on target. All six of them are found the back of the net. He's just hoovering up those little tiny opportunities he's getting. He's not getting a lot of the ball. He's not getting a lot of ball into the feet, but he's just proving to be the predator striker that
he is. It's an interesting point, is it? 21-20 to score any time.
Yeah.
Would you rather back that or England to win at odds on? Kane. I'd probably rather have Kane to score in the game, given his record so far.
Yeah, I think I would as well. One other bet that's just caught my eye as well, and this is one that's actually based on the stats. 5 of Sweden's last 6 games were 0-0 at half time.
Yes.
Draw England on the double result is 100-30. It's not a market that I go to the well with too often, but I think that's a little bit of a bigger price than it should be. It'd be no surprise to me if this is 0-0 at half-time. It was goalless at half-time in Sweden's previous match, of course. It was goalless at half-time, England-Colombia. And draw England at 130 on the double result, that catches my eye, that.
Do you know what? I was going to mention something similar. 11 of Sweden's last 14 goals at the World Cup have been scored in the second half.
Right.
We've seen England being stronger in the second half. Second half to be the highest scoring half could be an interesting angle into the game. You don't even need to put a winner on it that way. If there is a late goal that wins it either way or swings it either way, or if it's, you know, 0-0 half time, 1-1 full time, which I could see probably given England's record at the moment being the case. The second half to be the highest scoring for me, I think that will be a play here.
We've barely mentioned Sweden as a force. Just a quick word on, I mean, we've done a couple of previews, Sam, and I know you were keen on Granqvist to score. He scored already in the tournament twice, 2 penalties. Is there any kind of Sweden bet? I mean, you're both going for low goals, so you're not looking for goal scorers in particular. Is there any kind of pro-Sweden bet that you've identified, or is it all about England for you?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you're looking through the tournament so far, I mean, you can't back a penalty to be awarded anymore, because it's been chalked up as like 6-5. I think it was odds on in the Germany-South Korea game. So you simply can't back a penalty to be scored anymore. But what you can still back is penalty takers, because they're not really being trimmed accordingly, which is why I mentioned Granqvist in the previous rounds. So you can still back penalty takers in this tournament, and that gets you on the side of the penalties, because a penalty to be awarded, the market's just completely shot to pieces. Yeah. If you're on it from the start of the tournament, then you're probably laughing with that, but I do like penalty takers, and Granqvist is one that catches the eye for me. The man in the middle, though, could be the deciding factor for this one. I know a lot of England fans not happy that a man called Bjorn is refereeing the game against Sweden, but he is from the Netherlands, Bjorn Kuipers, and he's actually been one of the referees who I think has covered himself in a fair bit of glory throughout this tournament. He was the man who changed his own decision in one of Brazil's group matches. He'd awarded the penalty, reviewed it, realised that Neymar had dived, and then didn't give the penalty, which I think is fair enough, because I think a lot of referees, even having seen the video evidence, have just thought, well, I don't want to reverse my own decision here. So they've just stuck with it, which has led to one or two dubious calls, and that's why people have complained that it's still subjective. But Bjorn Kuipers has only awarded one penalty thus far in the tournament, so he might not be as keen to point to the spot as some of the other referees have been throughout this tournament. And he seems to have a stronger idea in his mind. He seems more happy to reverse the decision if it doesn't look right on the replay, compared to some referees who I think have had the benefits of the replay but have sort of bottled overturning it, really, and have stuck with the decision on the pitch. So that would temper my enthusiasm a little bit with the penalty takers project. Because that's the main reason I like Granqvist, really. I mean, this isn't a Sweden side that's got someone like Zlatan in it anymore who you just think, well, he's the focal point. They don't really play like that anymore. So I like Granqvist from a penalties perspective, but Mr. Bjorn in the middle may not give them.
He's a bit of a funny one, isn't he? Granqvist taking the penalties. He's a centre-back. He's the captain.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd ever scored an international goal for Sweden before stepping up for his first penalty at
this
time.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's just thought, you know, I'm going to take responsibility for this because I'm the skipper. I'm going to lead us here. And he's not prolific, I don't think. And I mean, I think it's a funny old situation. I think because he's taken the first one just out of pure leadership, they've then gone, well, you can have the second one as well.
Yeah.
I don't think he was probably going to be their main penalty taker if you asked them 6 months ago.
Right.
Which is it's a weird little angle on that. But we know Harry Kane will take penalties for England. Yeah. So I really like him to score any time. I think he's going to propel England to at least a semi-final.
Let's hope so. Just on the subject of penalties, you can, of course, go to Twitter, at William Hill, and tweet at them with the hashtag #YourOdds and have a penalty. There's a few penalty variations. Before I get onto those, I just spotted one here. Harry Kane to score a header, 7-1. Don't mind that at all. There's England to win, a penalty to be scored, and a header scored in the match at 10-1 as well. Harry Kane to score a penalty in the first half is 10-1. So there are loads of other bets involved. I mean, there's so many hashtag your odds bets available on williamhill.com or on the app. I'm just going to finish off with this one, though. 3,000-1. There are about 10 3,000-1 shots here. England to win 6-4. 2-2 draw at half-time.
Blimey.
What about this one? England to win 4-1. Raheem Sterling to score first, Harry Maguire and Jordan Henderson both to be carded. So there's loads of bets ranging from 3,000-1 right down to 4-11, which is under four goals, over one card and over five corners.
I thought after Leicester, the layers had given up on pricing things up at
massive prices.
Yeah, thousands of that and thousands of
that. Just one word of caution, you'll hear this in the commentary. England have got four players on yellow cards, so semi-final places in jeopardy. Henderson, Lingard, Loftus-Cheek and Walker, Ekdal and Klassen are the two for Sweden, who are walking a bit of a tightrope in this match. Quick recap then, guys. You both go in England?
Yes.
Yes.
You like Harry Kane?
I think England to win and Harry Kane to score, or just Harry Kane anytime. Harry Kane's the man, isn't he? Six goals, more than, joint level, most of an England player's ever had at a World Cup. If he goes on to win the Golden Boot and England win, then he should be knighted. So should Gareth Southgate. If you haven't looked at it already, by the way, check out the hashtag on Twitter, Gareth Southgate Wood.
Oh, yes.
That is beautiful. It's heartwarming. Great, yeah. It's lovely.
It's like the Chuck Norris stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Quick word on Harry Kane, actually. As you say, if England do go all the way, or even if England make the final and he wins the Golden Boot, I think he's still only just a shade of odds on for sports personality this year. Something like 10-11, right, with Anthony Joshua the only other real rival in the betting. I mean, think Andy Murray's third fav. He's not even playing at Wimbledon. You can back like Lizzie Arnold's like 16-1 or something. So I think Lewis Hamilton's the other one in there. It's a bit of a two horse race, and Kane's like 10-11 for sports personality. And if England make the final, it doesn't matter who Anthony Joshua is.
Shortened
this
a little
year.
Bit, 8-11 as we speak.
Right,
but,
okay.
But still, yeah. he'll be an absolute shoo-in, won't he, if it manages that. I was just looking to see if there are any special bets on Gareth Southgate being knighted, but nothing as yet.
Maybe have a hashtag your odds. England to win the World Cup, Gareth Southgate to be knighted, and
Kane to win
Sports.
Loads of enhanced odds around. Harry Kane features in a lot of them. Kane to score and England to win in 90 minutes, 15-8 was 13-8. England to win by 2 or more is 3-1. Kane to score 2 or more in 90 minutes is 11-2. And Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling both to score in 90 minutes, 9-1. And just to finish with this one, just for a word of caution, England to win on penalties was 9s, now 11s.
William Hill customers are getting more every day of the World Cup. Your odds are available on every World Cup match. So join over 450,000 Your Odds customers and get on the markets everyone's talking about. More choice, more control. William Hill, this is more.
We've been hearing the thoughts of the Racing Post football experts throughout the World Cup. Let's get their view on Sweden versus England. Mark Landon and Ian Wilkerson.
I'm anticipating a very tight game in this one. Not many chances. It's going to be a nervous afternoon for everybody, I think. Sweden, not got a lot going forward, but they're pretty strong at the back. So under 1.5 goals for me in this one.
Oh, it's coming home. England to, or certainly they're not coming home just yet. I'm going for England to win in 90 minutes. You know, I've not been overly impressed with Sweden so far, but at the prices, I mean, usually we try to take on the patriotic pump, but it hasn't quite developed for this game. A shade of odds on. I think England here are a decent bet.
Right, it's really exciting in our office. Everyone's buzzing about Sweden versus England, so I'm going to go around and get some predictions from everyone.
England beat Sweden by 1-0. Sweden organised, but England are going to be too strong.
I think England win in extra time.
1-0 England.
John Stones scores an hat-trick and he brings it home to Barnsley.
3-1 England.
2-0 England. Kane's the man, isn't he, as we all know.
3-1 England.
2-0 England.
I think England are going to win 3-1.
England going to win 2-1.
England 1-0, Harry Kane.
England, because I actually predicted England to win the whole tournament when nobody was excited about England, so England will absolutely... walk against Sweden and it'll be 5-0.
Well, I'm afraid to say I think England will win and they'll go through to the semi-final. They'll win that as well, and I'm hoping they'll actually win the tournament, because believe it or not, as a true blooded Scotsman, I've backed England to win the World Cup. It's true. Come on, England.
Well, we may surprise you in the next few minutes. Russia versus Croatia in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. Russia's own World Cup. They're 14-5 to win in 90 minutes. The draw's 19-10. Croatia are 6-5. 11-8 Russia to qualify through to the semi-finals. And Croatia are 8-15. Sam and Mark are back. I'm sure Sam and Mark were a duo on some sort of X Factor show way back in the early 2000s, but not this time. No singing from Sam Norris and Mark Walton. Russia, Croatia, guys.
I think it's coming home.
Yeah. No, if you think our bets are bad, then wait to hear us on karaoke.
Russia obviously have been, you know, the surprise packet here. 5-0 against Saudi Arabia, 3-1 against Egypt. Maybe at that point, everyone was thinking, God, this is a better team than we thought. They were humbled by Uruguay and then, of course, did a job on Spain, coming through on penalties. Croatia, kind of the opposite, really. They started off really well, and after beating Nigeria 2-0 and Argentina 3-0, then beating Iceland by 2-1, they were every hipster's favourite team of the tournament. Suddenly, they have a bit of a blip against Denmark and they're the worst team at the World Cup. Which way are you going on this one, Sam? Russia or Croatia?
I'd be tempted to find a pro-Russia bet here. Croatia are a price of at 6-5, which I don't really want to back them at that price. They impressed me massively in the group stages, but then disappointed me big time in the round of 16 against Denmark. And for all the sort of attacking quality they've got on offer, for all the creativity they've got through the midfield, I mean, this is sort of player by player one of the best midfields in the World Cup, really. And they didn't create loads against, albeit a very well organised Denmark side. But this Russian side is going to be organised. We saw that against Spain. Spain had loads and loads of possession, but again, Russia looked almost comfortable to just let Spain have the ball. And whether there's a little bit of Spain or just an ageing squad now, whether tiki-taka is dead, Croatia are going to have to move the ball much quicker through the midfield to hurt Russia here, because if they play at the kind of tempo that Spain did, and Spain have got those kind of players in midfield as well, then they're going to struggle to get past this Russia side. As you said, expectations have changed massively for Russia. Pre-tournaments, I thought them not to get out of the group was one of the best bets of the group stages. I mean, Egypt disappointing, sort of put the kibosh on that a little bit. But Russia were much, much better than I think anybody really gave them credit for coming into this tournament. And I'd rather try and find a pro-Russia bet here than back Croatia. Historically, there's some good omens for Russia. The last five World Cup hosts to reach a quarter-final have all gone through to the semi-finals. And normally in this situation, I'd like to back Russia plus a goal, but that's 4-7. So I don't really want to put that up. And I'm going to go for Russia draw no bet here, which is a market that I don't normally like to go to very much, because it often leaves me annoyed. Because if I win the bet, then I'm annoyed that I didn't just back them outright. And if I get my money back, I always think, well, there wasn't much point. But I think draw no bet is actually the way to go here. It's 11-8 Russia draw no bet in this match. I can just see them frustrating Croatia. And Croatia weren't able to unpick Denmark very well. I think we could see very, very similar styles to what we saw from both Russia and Croatia in their previous game. I think Croatia will have the possession, but I think Russia will be content to keep them at arm's length. And I think Russia will make it too hard for Croatia to break them down, and I'd rather be pro-Russia here. So Russia drawing a bet at 11-8 would be my idea of a way in on this match, and I didn't think I'd be abandoning Croatia so soon after such a positive group stage, but that would be the bet for me here.
A few enhanced odds before we get to Mark's view. Mandzukic to score, Croatia to win in 90 minutes is 4-1. Zubia to score and Russia to win is 11-2. Both teams to score in the first half is 6-1. Russia to score in both halves is 13-2. Same bet for Croatia to win both halves, though, is 7-1. Mark, which way do you go on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with a lot of what Sam said there. I think he's hit the nail on the head in terms of Russia's style will be the worst thing that Croatia can come up against. We've seen them play against Argentina, who want to play football. They won that game because they played nice football. We saw them struggle against Denmark when they were happy to sit in. And I think that's the trouble with Croatia. You mentioned the midfield there. They've got these brilliant midfielders that all want to get the ball on the deck and spray it around and pass it in nice, intricate moves. When they come up a side against a side that are hard to break down, that's when Croatia get found out. That's why they aren't as successful as their players probably dictate they should be. So I would have to go with Russia here as well. I don't like the idea of backing them in 90 minutes, but I do quite like the idea of backing Russia to qualify at 11-8. That way you've got extra time and penalties on your side there as well. We saw against Spain that Spain tried to play the way that Croatia will play, and it didn't work. Russia have worked so hard in this tournament with a crowd behind them, the noise in the stadium as well, that it just gives them that extra level, that bit of that final reserve of stamina that we probably wouldn't have seen from them in the past. We see that time and time again with World Cup hosts as well. Croatia have faced the whole host nation at World Cup twice previously. They lost both of those against France and against Brazil. And as Sam mentioned, the stat about the last five host nations to feature in a World Cup quarterfinal have all progressed to the semi-final. So that's Italy in 1990, France in 1998, South Korea in 2002, Germany 2006, and Brazil in 2014. Croatia won their only other World Cup quarterfinal when they beat Germany back in 1998. They went out to the hosts in the semi-final. So whenever they meet a host, they kind of struggle. And I just think it's all set up. I mean, you know, sometimes they say your name's on the trophy or the host do well and all that kind of stuff. That all just points in the direction of Russia, doesn't it? I mean, if you asked me before the tournament, would I back Russia in any match? I'd have said probably not. If you asked me if I'd back them against Croatia, I would have probably laughed. If you said, would you take 11-8 about them qualifying against Croatia, a side that are twice as good at football than they are, I would have said no, but just the way the tournament's unpanning, the way we've seen Russia act, I think it's got to be the bet here. We've seen time and time again with Croatia in their golden generation, they didn't quite have enough. I think a bit like England, they've got the players, they just don't quite have the mindset. When it starts to get tough, they were lucky to get through against Denmark. I mean, poor old Kasper Schmeichel to save three penalties in one game and go out. And I think Russia will just end up nicking it. I think they'll grind it out and they'll get through, and then Russia will just be insane once again with celebrations and just wild scenes of disbelief from everyone else apart from the Russians.
And good for the tournament.
Yes, that old chestnut.
Hashtag good for the tournament. I don't think it is good for the tournament anymore. I think I completely oppose you two in this. I think Russia have done everything they need to do, and then Croatia just beat them quite easily, 2-0.
Croatia don't have a good record against Russia as well in matches. They've met them three times in competitive matches. So that was qualifiers for Euro 2008. They drew both of those games 0-0. They beat them 3-1 in a friendly, but that was a friendly. And when it actually matters and teams dig in against them like Russia will do, I think they'll struggle to break them down. I think the draw's a good shout for the 90 minutes. But if I had to pick a side to go through, I'd go with Russia on to qualify market.
There's real sort of animosity towards the Croatian FA as well in Croatia. It's been massively evidenced in some of their qualifiers. We've seen fan protests, etc. A lot of the players aren't happy about it. A lot of the fans have not turned on Luka Modric, but Luka Modric has been criticised for his relationship with members of the Croatian FA. And it might not take a lot for this side to sort of fall to pieces, Croatia. I don't know whether they've got the real strong unity there that's required for when the going gets tough. As I say, there's been big protests in the country about the FA's involvement in the national side, and I think they might have a little bit of a soft underbelly potentially as well, Croatia, which is another negative.
The thoughts of Mark and Sam. Let's get the thoughts of the Racing Post experts on Russia versus Croatia. Mark Landon and Ian Wilkerson.
Croatia, their results have flattered their performances, I think, and Russia are going to be a tough nut to crack, as Spain found in the last round. I'd anticipate there's not going to be a lot of chances in this game. 0-0 at half-time for me.
It may even be 0-0 at full-time. I'm going to go for the draw in 90 minutes. Russia defended very well against Spain, only conceded that own goal, but they haven't got that much up front. I think Croatia will dominate midfield, but they may need extra time and penalties to reach the semi-finals.
Welcome to Croatia, the home of the world's biggest truffle. The record holder was discovered by Giancarlo Zagante in 1999, or more accurately, by his dog Diana. It was nearly as big as a football and weighed in at 1.3 kilograms. It was valued at about $5,000 at the time. Now, you may not believe this, but Croatia invented the necktie. The origins go all the way back to the 17th century when Croatian mercenaries fought for the French in the 30 Years' War and they brought their distinctively knotted neckwear along with them. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones, then why not visit Croatia? It was filmed in Split and in Dubrovnik and the Dalmatian coast. Finally, if you're a fan of a nice, crisp glass of white Zinfandel from the sunny climes of California, raise a toast to Croatia next time. The grape originates from here. Chaps, let's just finish off Sweden versus England. Not on the match, because we've done that to death. Where are you watching it?
I am watching it in a bar in Leeds called Shenanigans, an Irish bar.
Shenanigans.
Is that the one that used to be called something else, Irish Sand?
It used to be called O'Neill's.
O-something. O'Neill's, yeah. That was it, yeah.
O-something. At full time, it could be I know you're working some, aren't you? But you're going to kind of sneak out and watch it somewhere.
If the work's done in time, I might pop out and treat myself to watching the game.
Are you both confident that will be... We're watching a semi-final.
I'm already booking time off for the semi-finals next week. I booked the final off last month, so yeah. It would have been better for us to win the group, though. I'd have been able to see more games if we'd have won the group.
It worked out better for me for us to finish second, right. So when we got beat by Belgium, I was kind of a little bit pleased.
Yeah. Nice. My worry is that you think back, going back to the start of the podcast, all those jokes, all those sneers, you know, all those kind of oh-so-nears worn me down through the years. I still see that tackle by Moore. When Lineker scored, Bobby belting the ball and Nobby dancing. I know that was then, chaps, but it could be again. Come on, England.